title of this side is Your Life as a Paying Proposition. I think it's important that I explain and set the stage so you can appreciate my philosophy and the way I look at all aspects of life so that you can tie into it and you can track with me as you're developing your own secret wealth. First of all, I look at all aspects of life in a business context. In my mind, everything and everybody is really a business. You are selling a product or service to somebody else. In the purest sense, if you're a business, you render a product and service you sell to a customer. If you are an employee, you render a service that you are selling on an ongoing basis, on a renewable daily and weekly and yearly basis to your employer. If you are a friend, you are selling your friendship and your value and your trust and your contribution to your friend. And you may not acknowledge or recognize it, but you are selling and reselling that product or that service to some customer who is the recipient each and every day, each and every week, each and every month of each and every year of your life. The more you understand and convert the way you conduct your life to a business-based philosophy, the more distinctive, the more powerful, and the more enriched you cannot help but become. As such, my context of a paying proposition means this. If you are a business should be profit-based. If you are profit-based, you need to produce the maximum result from the effort, and that result has to be immediate and ongoing. As you look at your efforts in life, you have to put on the hat and say, whether I own a business or not, I am a business. And you have to decide, am I going to be a nonprofit organization or a paying proposition? I think another key ingredient that'll tie this all together for you and make it clear is understanding very easily and clearly why some businesses are far more successful than others. Without being protracted, let me give you the answer. They have identified and understood better than their competition exactly what their customers want and need, and they furnish it, and they provide it. As a paying proposition, as a business, which you are the captain, you have to understand exactly what your customer, whomever he or she or it may be, wants and needs most, and you've got to be able to render or supply or provide it better, more advantageously, and this is a key, and more evidently, so they recognize what you're doing for them. And that basically is the secret that drives businesses to great success and will drive you to great success in all aspects of your life and financial well-being through the secret wealth principle. Let me draw an analogy to your life and show you why you may not fail but don't succeed anywhere close to the level you deserve and you easily could be operating at. Let's take this first from the position of you as an employee. Until and unless you can step outside of your own box and be sensitive and recognize what your employer needs and wants, not only from your contribution or from the service or the product you render for him or her, but also from their business as a whole, you can't fully extend yourself. Until you do that, you can't fully harvest the bounty and the rewards there is within the job opportunity itself. In your relationship, until and unless you understand what your spouse or your significant other or your lover or your children want and need, and you are sensitive and understand and respect that, you can't begin to possibly provide it, render it, and help them achieve it. And until they get what they want, you'll find out in life you will never be able to get what you want first. Let me give you an example that might bring this all together, because a very dear friend of mine and a client is one of the original founders of Federal Express. They started in an industry that had no sensitivity to what their customers wanted. They quickly realized that their real customer was the secretary or the manager. It was somebody who had to be a hero to their superior. And what they wanted was to be a hero. They wanted to know turnkey, without a doubt, that the problem was taken care of. The moment they realized that their purpose wasn't to sell the owner of the business, it was to make the secretary a hero to her or his superior, was the moment their business skyrocketed from number 279 to number one. Then they empowered all their people to be sensitive to the needs and the desires of their customer and to be responsive to them. And the moment they started basically focusing all their attention on empowering their customers, their business basically took off, and I don't think they've yet been equaled by anybody. Let me give you a couple of clear examples that may bring this possibility to life. I had a young lady who worked for a software company. Most of you by now are familiar with software. You buy a piece of software, whether it's for your own home use or whether your business use, and you get it, and you may or may not have access to support, but a lot of software is complicated, or your applications or your usage of it may be unique and it may confuse you. She worked for a company that had support, had all kinds of very qualified people there, but they weren't being used very much because people didn't avail themselves of it. And because people didn't avail themselves of it, they didn't buy more of the software from the company. So the company was really the loser because they didn't understand their goal, which was to make it easier to use and benefit from the software than not. They just thought their job function was just to get the software in people's hands, and it was up to the people to figure out how to apply it. This very, very bright woman who developed this concept of seeing herself as a profit-paying proposition, as a company rendering a service to her employer, saw that she had to help her employer see better ways to get buyers of their software to understand the magnitude and the expansive possibilities of applying it, because the more applications, the more they'd buy upgrades, the more they'd buy more units for their other employees, the more they'd buy the systems that tied them together. So she created continual educational programs that she mailed and by telephone communicated to all their customers, offering them all kinds of very specific application-based training programs they could come to or they could learn about by telephone. So she showed people how to add value and benefit from the software they had already purchased. In the process of doing that, she grew her department something like 300%. She turned a losing proposition, which was the support department, which basically was there costing money, into a $500,000 a year profit center, because in the process of not even trying to make money, she created a profitable training department that made money. She got a raise. The company expanded it three times over. Each time she got promoted three times to a higher level, she took the same philosophy and applied it to different departments, and the company grew something like 300% in a downward recessionary market just because she was able to demonstrate to them that just selling something, a product, wasn't their goal. Their goal was to help the buyer understand all the different ways he or she could use it to their maximum and their continuous and their changing advantage. Another man who I worked with, and he ran a regional division of a $1 billion company, realized that the goal in life is once you get a customer, to never, ever, ever let them go. And I don't mean that in a covetous or a possessive standpoint. I mean it in a respectful standpoint. When they stop buying from you is not the time to drop them. His company's goal was to sustain the relationship they had bred through all kinds of years of investment, effort, expertise, and relationship with all their inactive clients, even though the clients weren't buying from them now. He got all his employees under him and all his superiors to start focusing on all their inactive clients and start dealing with them, because he recognized they had sunk such an investment in the relationship, so much time, so many people, so much human and financial capital, that they started questioning, why weren't they buying today? What had they done? What changes had occurred? By going back to all the inactive customers, they reactivated something like $5 million in a one-year period. He became a hero. He got a massive raise. The company made something like $2 million more in pure profit because the cost of reactivating an inactive customer was almost nothing. They'd already found them. They'd already worked on them. It just bring it back to life, because he saw that basically When people stop doing business with you, it's normally because you've stopped providing them with something they currently need, or somebody else has taken charge of that business or of the buying facet of that business and doesn't have the history, doesn't have the knowledge, doesn't have the understanding or the education of why you provide value. He went instantly, and so did she. I've used two examples, so I'll use both the people because they both adopted a very similar transformation. They converted from an attitude of, this is what we do and this is the way we do it, so take it or leave it, to questioning how they could serve or fulfill or assist or improve the quality of their customers' business or life. They refocused their attention to what they could do themselves, or more importantly, through and in behalf of their company, for their customer, to make that customer's business or life more successful. And in the process, they turned their attitude from one of self-serving to one of selflessness. One of the biggest philosophical breakthroughs we have established in the business arena, which I think is directly applicable here, is teaching people how to adopt an attitude of what I'll call a super servant. And when you think of a servant, it may conjure up a negative image, but it's really quite positive, because what your goal in life, in business, in jobs must be is to identify and understand how many more and better and continuous ways you can help serve or fulfill or clarify the non-verbalized needs and desires of your customer or your marketplace. And your marketplace, again, is whomever it is you're trying to positively impact. This is one of the most wonderful secrets of your secret wealth principle. The moment you switch your focus from internal to external, from self-serving to selfless, from what's in it for me to how can I be a super servant, how can I enrich the life, the business, the profitability, the satisfaction, or the happiness of the other side, your own situation starts improving massively. In the case of these two people, for example, not the moment, but within months of the woman doing this for the software company, she got not one, but two separate promotions. She got not one, but two increases in salary. She got not one, but two bonuses. She got an incredible surge of empowerment, of fulfillment, of liberation, of understanding of her purpose and her company's purpose. And she got the distinction of understanding things about doing business that none of her competitors did. The man who runs the regional division for the very large billion-dollar company, he too got a promotion, he too got a raise, but he too got something else. He reported to me that he got something he never realized was possible. He got continuous and perpetual control and certainty of his ability to always create the business, the future, the success, and the happiness he wanted, because he realized exactly what people and what business and what customers wanted. As powerful as all those financial accomplishments were, there was one more realization that both these people made that is key to your achieving the success you want. They realized at that moment that they no longer were dependent on their businesses. They no longer needed those businesses, their employers, for financial security, for their personal effectiveness. They were their security. They were their power. They possessed, from that moment forward, all the control of their life, their income, their achievements, and their security. And that liberation is the most powerful and exhilarating realization you too will recognize. The more you realize the concept of being a super servant, the more you take full control of your life. It's not dependency, it's liberation. One of the greatest experts on business in the world is Peter Drucker. He's written 35 books. He writes articles for the Wall Street Journal. He has contributed to some of the most successful enterprises in the world. Mr. Drucker says the following. Business, because its function is to create a customer and sustain it, has only two purposes: marketing and innovation. Marketing and innovation are the only two functions that build business, that sustain paying revenue. Everything else is an expense. What's that mean to you? It means this: as a business, you too have to learn how to market and innovate. Don't be confused or intimidated. All marketing is the process you use to educate your customer. Your customer could be your mate, your spouse, your employer, your supervisor, or your customer, to see, understand, appreciate, and want to seize the advantage you offer. Whatever you are, wherever you are, whoever you're trying to impact. As a business, you've got to educate, explain to those people you need to impact why and how what you do is more valuable to them than other people doing it, and why you make their life better off, more secure, or more profitable. It's that simple. You are a business, you are a paying proposition. As such, you've got to learn to market your product or service and the advantage and benefit you bring to them. And once you do that, enormous and continuous success and wealth and riches can come to you. Society, the system, your employers, competition is insistent on trying to relegate everybody to the role of being a commodity, nondescript, equally comparable, nothing unique. Your challenge, your goal, your charge, your purpose in life, in your job, in your relationship, in your business has got to be, from my vantage point, making yourself distinctive, making yourself a proprietary, making yourself so incomparable on a value and benefit and advantageous basis that there is no choice available to your customer, be that customer your employer, your wife, your husband, your children, but to value and to embrace the product, the proposition, or the service you are offering them. Let me give you a couple of examples that will help you put this into easy reference so you can apply it to your own situation. I have a number of doctors I've worked with, and the most impactful change we have made for them is so embarrassing that it's almost funny. Most people don't know the difference between doctors' technical skill, but they know and can appreciate the profound difference between caring and not caring. All it takes is for us to get a doctor, when they see a patient, to start engaging that patient in discussion about the patient's life, asking questions, taking the time to be interested in their life and their families and their problems, not just looking at them as a bodily specimen. And when they leave, taking the time to have either their secretaries or their office managers or their nurses or even themselves call and just follow up to make certain the patient is all right. That simple little process of extending themselves, of acknowledging and demonstrating, you are special to me. I sense that you need to know that I am concerned about your welfare, and I genuinely want to know if you're doing better or if you're doing worse or if you're doing the same. That simple little distinction makes the few doctors who do that stand out so favorably. We have had realtors who basically have changed their whole focus of trying to make their clients get the greatest outcome. They try to educate them. They try to help the client develop a strategy. They don't sell them something to sell it for them. They first of all help the client be clear on what it is they're trying to accomplish and help the client realize that there are a lot of different ways to do it. And maybe the way they want to do it or they came to the realtor to do it isn't the best outcome for them. And in the process, they could conceivably lessen their commission, but by doing it, they do such a noble service that they distinguish themselves because there's no other realtor doing that. The things that we do that are above and beyond what normality would say, the average commodity, husband or employee or business or spouse or mate or lover would do, are what distinguish us. And in the process of doing it, it brings to bear this concept of being a servant, but not in the negative or the lowest concept, but in the most enriching and empowering, because it brings such incredible advantage both to the other side and to us. The secret to my ability to grow businesses and professions of all kinds is an awareness that almost no business owner has ever realized, and it's this. There are just three ways to grow any business. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. It's not foreboding. It's really simple. There's only three ways that any business can be grown. Way number one is you increase the number of customers that you deal with. Way number two is you increase the amount of purchase or the size of the purchase those customers make. Way number three is you increase the frequency or the repeat factor those customers do with you. If you increase any one of those factors, you increase a business linear or arithmetically. You increase all three and the business grows by quantum leaps because you bring to bear this quantum theory of geometric progression. It's very exciting. What does this mean to you? It means the same thing. There are probably only three significant ways you can grow the richness of your life. And I'm going to draw analogies. In business, you increase the number of customers. In your life, you increase the number of relationships. In business, you increase the size of the transaction. In life, you increase the dimension or the richness or the level that those relationships take on. In business, you increase the frequency of purchase. In life, you increase and extend the frequency of communication and of interaction. I want to repeat very simply this lesson one more time because I think it's going to be the driving thrust that catapults you to your secret wealth. Remember, in business, I've learned that the easiest way to give almost any enterprise an immediate and a massive quantum leap is these three simple ways. In business, the first way is to increase the number of customers. In life, your first way will be to increase the number of relationships you establish. And once you started developing these extra and expanded relationships, you're not going to believe the byproduct of profitability and enjoyment that it produces, because relationships will breed relationships. People will introduce you to other people. Opportunities will be presented to you. Knowledge will reveal itself. It's a never-ending, perpetual motion machine you will have set in process that will keep giving and giving and giving back to you at such increased levels of richness and benefit, you can't believe it till you apply it. The second principle of growing a business that we're going to relate to your life is increasing the size of the unit of sale. What does that mean in your life? It means increasing the size of effort or contribution you make or the dimension you give to the relationship. It's not passive and superficial and monodimensional. You strive to extend yourself to identify how many additional and beneficial ways can I extend myself? Can I contribute? Can I serve? The third most powerful way in business is increasing the frequency of purchase. Your correlation in life is increasing the frequency of communication, of interaction. You don't have a relationship and never call upon it. Think about how wonderful it feels to you when somebody out of your past calls you up for no self-serving reason, but to basically reconnect, to rekindle the relationship. Think of how rich your friendships are that you have ongoing. Think of how important and meaningful they are to your life. Think about how they are in your job. Think about how they are in your business. The same reality will be true of doing this in any aspect of your life today. Surprisingly, what you're going to find out when you conclude the end of this program is that the secret to your secret wealth lies in the depth and dimension and quality and commitment and contribution you make to relationships. And it's right there for you. So now we've taken you to the point that you recognize that you are a business, a wealthy business who has now decided to harvest and liberate all the wealth and all the riches that are just waiting to be plucked from the tree. You realize that you have unique abilities, unique assets, unique opportunities to contribute, to impact, to advantage others, and in the process, massively advantage yourself. It's important at this junction in your progression that you recognize you can have the greatest product in the world. You can possess more assets than anybody you compete against. You can have the greatest service. But until you communicate it clearly and until the other side recognizes the advantage you offer them, it'll never be fully realized. The following few examples will demonstrate to you graphically the importance of communicating the assets and all the uniquenesses that you have recognized so that the marketplace or your customer or others can take advantage of them because they recognize and respect them and desire it. So let's go through a few examples. First of all, years ago, Schlitz Beer took themselves from number 9th in the market to number 1 in 6 months through a simple process. Back then, everybody and their brother was a commodity. They were all saying, our beer is good because it is pure. There was nothing distinctive. A person came and toured the Schlitz Brewing Factory. He was incredulous and amazed. Their facility was on the shoreline of Lake Michigan. The first thing that struck him was the fact that even though they were right on the shore of a water source, they had dug down 5,000 feet and they had 3 artesian wells to draw up water because it had to be a certain mineral content, it had to be a certain purity. That fascinated him. Then he walked inside and he saw the way they brewed their beer. The beer was brewed by a basis that started with a mother yeast cell, which was the basic progenitor or creator of all the subsequent yeast that was used to create the beer. That yeast cell was the result of 1,537 different experiments that the Schlitz Brewing research team had conducted to find the perfect balance, the perfect embodiment of yeast that would produce balance, richness, taste, robustness. Then they saw that after they had created the perfect yeast cell, they then went through a purification process, which was amazing. First of all, there were massive rooms with 6-foot-thick glass plate walls where water was condensed and distilled and condensed and distilled 3 or 4 times so that it had all the impurities taken out of it. Then the bottling plant, they took bottles and they cleansed them 3 different times. Then they put them into live steam at 1,500 degrees. Then they processed them through one more cleansing and purification process before they added this purified water to it and then added the yeast product. At the end of the line, of the production line, they had samplers who would arbitrarily pull off one bottle out of every 150 and taste them, and occasionally they would reject total batches because they were slightly off. Most people would never have noticed, but their people would. At the end of this tour, this man who happened to be a marketing expert was incredulous, and he said, my God, why in the world don't you tell the marketplace how distinctive and unique your beer processing and manufacturing function is? And they said, well, because everybody makes it plus or minus that way. And he said, but the world doesn't know that, and the first person to explain it to them will gain proprietary advantage. They allowed him, and in 6 short months, their beer rose from being number 9th in sales to being number 1 and stayed there for about 20 years. Think about your own life, your own job, your own business. What assets are you hiding or concealing or not acknowledging and sharing with your customer that could be of significant and profound importance? It might be something as basic as a process that is so evident and inherent to you, you don't even think anything of it. It may be the construction or the creation of the product and how uniquely you do it that others don't. It might not be a product at all. It might not be a service. It may be the life experiences or the perspective or the expertise you bring into it and your ability to assess and determine what is right for the customer before you allow them to waste their effort, their time, their emotion, their finances. Whatever it is, until and unless you convey, communicate, and explain it fully, dimensionally to others in a way that the others can appreciate the significance of what's in that for them, the advantage that you have brought to bear for them, you'll never get full value from the transaction. Okay, let me give you a few others. I had about 2 years ago a very, very ambitious-minded young lady who had started with her husband a software company, and they specialized in a very complex field called computer imaging. This is a way they can take hundreds of thousands of documents and basically scan them and image them into a very sophisticated piece of software that can help a law firm or a research facility or a manufacturing concern access key information at a finger's notice. they were so obsessed with just selling the technical sophistication of their product that they had failed to recognize what the result or the advantage or the significance of that really had been to the other users or could be to new customers. And I asked them a few questions. I didn't ask them about how sophisticated or complex or cutting edge the technology was. I refocused their attention on the question, what is the measurable result in terms of benefit this brings to your customer? And I was surprised. They told me, well, it can allow them to do in an hour what used to take them 10 weeks. And I said, well, that's very interesting. From a standpoint of financial impact, what does that saving mean to them? If it had taken them 10 weeks, how many people would it have taken them to do that research? And they said, conceivably, 20 people. I said, well, 20 people researching for 10 weeks times 40 hours seems to be a lot of money, doesn't it? And they said, yes. And I said, well, then you're telling me that on any one application, it's perfectly reasonable that that or a greater savings and reduction and achievement could be realized? And they said, yes, all day long. And I said, well, then why in the world are you trying to get your customers to be impressed with the technological sophistication when they should be eager to save 10 weeks and maybe $50,000 every time they had an application? They'd never done that. They'd never allowed their customer to realize the advantage financially and on labor and on productivity and on time they were bringing to bear. That one simple awareness attached to the communication of its importance to the customer made these people $4 million extra in approximately 18 months, got them designated as Inc. Magazine's one of the fastest growing 500 companies, got a major Big Six accounting firm to invest millions of dollars in them, and got a group of investors to buy them out for a seven-figure amount just because they made that distinction. In summary, let me ask you a question that you should ask yourself. It's this. Are you limiting or restricting the amount of business? And remember, business can be defined as whatever achievement you as a self-recognized company want to accomplish or produce. Are you limiting or restricting the amount of business your customer, and remember, your customer can be customer literal, can be your employer, can be anyone in a relationship or any combination. Are you limiting and restricting the amount of business and the frequency of business and the profitability of business your customer could be doing with and from you? Because you don't communicate clearly and powerfully the advantage and the significance of why it's important to them? If the answer is yes, all you have to do is change that one realization in your life and in conducting your life as the head of your own business, and incredible increases and improvements and quantum leaps can't help but occur, because people will seize the advantages you now make clear and evident to them. And on the next side, I'm going to show you how to define and communicate what is uniquely special and significant about yourself.